Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody, back here again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values and love devolve into BS. And that is, for me, bait and switch, and it could be BS in ways that you think of it as well. Love is the only authentic human relationship and reaction, and the relative beauty of life is found in love. And that's where I want to live and breathe and eat and sleep, and I'm inviting you to join me. So I'm here every week to talk to you about the principles and the power, the significance of love. I'm going to talk to you today about one of the hardest subjects of love, and that is in two words, enemy love. We're going to go as deep as I can in about a half an hour of your life and time. So hang in there with me. I do a few things here regularly, kind of as a liturgy, a means of carrying me along and bringing you into my little zone. One is that I like to lead you in the Lord's Prayer to get us started. And then I want to take you to Love's Creed so that you can join me in a pursuit of love that's deeper and wider and more significant than most of us have been used to doing. Love's Creed is something I wrote, and I'd be happy to share it with you. And I'll give you an email address right after we share that. But first, join me in the Lord's Prayer. I pray with my eyes open because that's what I like to do, and it's my invitation to you. Give it a try. It's a little freaky. It's different. But you know, I just find that if I lift my head and open my eyes like Jesus did a couple times in the Gospels, something inside of me changes when I pray. All right, here we go. Join me, if you will, in the wisdom of Jesus, when he taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's a lot of wisdom packed into those words. There's a lot of meditation to be had for all of us right there. And I invite you to give it a daily shot in your beginning of the day, middle of the day, close of your day, and sprinkle throughout. It's a great settling thing for me. It's a little bit like my own Christian Zen. It just gets me centered and settled. Well, speaking of getting centered and settled, I think it's important to have truths that give bearing for our life, a direction. And that's what Love's Creed does for me. And I offer it to you here. I'll give it to you in total. Then let me go back and ask you to repeat after me. All right? Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, repeat after me, short bursts, if you will, just like wedding vows. I want you to make a vow to yourself that this is a way to live that's superior to all other means. This is above the BS of our world to be alive to love. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs. Locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you go. Speaking of being centered and settled, that'll settle you. If you'd like a copy of it, send me an email, randydeanministries@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you a copy. Well, as I said at the beginning, I want to talk to you about enemy love. Two words. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said very specifically, very clearly, love your enemies. I said here before that when he introduced that thought, he said to the listeners of his day, and the gospel writer Luke said and digested it this way. Jesus said, you heard it of old that you should hate your enemies and love your neighbors. Well, I'm telling you, love your enemies and do good to them. Now, Jesus flipped the script there, but it was a much larger script, I think, than most of us attribute that little phrase to. So that's why I want to spend some more time on this subject, and I have off and on multiple times. But when Jesus quoted from Leviticus in particular there, the references to a tribe or a little nation that had been unfriendly to the people of Israel. And in that Leviticus reference surrounding it, there's this whole idea, and then Moses elaborates on it another time, and there's this idea that these bad people treated us badly, so we should not just hate them, but we should kill them. We should make sure they feel our wrath. And that was the law of Moses. And Jesus visits that in a time when there was a large empire known as Rome that was the life and death enemy of the Jews of that time, and enemy of anybody that would oppose Rome. The Pax Romana was the peace of Rome in that day. Rome was the one world government, and there was a peace of Rome, which meant get along with us or we'll destroy you. Just do what we say and we won't have to kill you. That's why Roman centurions, it was a person in charge of 100 dudes, and those 100 dudes were unhinged henchmen out to kill anything that moved in opposition to Rome. And a centurion had 100 bad dudes to get out there and kill the bad people. So Rome had a little clumps of foot soldiers out there to teach you how to hate the empire, how to hate the centurions, how to hate the centurion soldiers. Now, so we have references in the Gospels to centurions that Jesus visited with and talked to. One in particular, Jesus went and offered healing to a centurion's servant. Well, that rankled the Bible thumpers of Jesus' day, because they had a Bible verse. Hate your enemies. Don't do them good. Don't do any favors for your enemies. Listen, you do them a favor, you're a traitor. You're living in cahoots with the empire. Well, now, we are a few millennia out, and this is me reflecting on a half a century of my life in pastoral ministry. I'm telling you, most Christians I know will act as if they don't have any enemies, except a few people in an assortment of folks that have mistreated them, said a bad thing about them, and maybe they've had an enemy or two that gossiped about them or said bad things or whatever the case may be. In fact, here's a summation of it. Somebody said to me one time in a meeting of about a few dozen people. I was talking about this in that meeting about loving our enemies. And this person said, but Pastor, I don't have any enemies. And they went on to elaborate that they've just chosen to love people even when they're mean to them, or when they've said bad things, or when they were not cooperative with them. They've just chosen to love them. And that is a summation of how an awful lot of Christians, church folk, think that Jesus is talking about love your enemies. And while that applies, that is not the pinnacle here of what Jesus is inviting us to. I refer to the book of Romans when Paul said, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. Now, when Paul said that, he's talking to the Gentiles. And of course, anybody that was in some kind of a pitched battle with God as a sinning soul. And Paul said, look, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. Now, that isn't just people being mean or saying bad things or gossiping like this person had said to me in that meeting. Well, I don't have any enemies. I've just chosen to love them. And by the way, what we usually mean by that is, and this person, again, is a summation of many, 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 many people in churches. What they're saying is, oh, I'm nice to my enemies. And I'm here to step in the path and say, being nice to your enemies is not loving your enemies. That doesn't hurt anything, certainly, but it isn't the fulfillment of the commandment to live with enemy love. To live with enemy love, it doesn't even mean entirely that somehow I've bonded with them and I'm now in a relationship of ongoing meetings or whatever else the case may be. It doesn't even mean that. What it means is I've managed my soul towards something bigger, better, more beautiful, more freeing, more full of meditation, more secure, more wholesome, more my interior life has found a ground and a root in a way of loving that causes me to see people in a far different fashion than good people, bad people. That I'm looking at people as people, just like me. And in fact, I would suggest this is beyond seeing, well, that's an enemy, so I'm going to love them. I would suggest that it requires of us an elimination of the pitched battle between us and them. The elimination of the pitched battle of good people versus bad people. The elimination of, like Paul said, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us, and now we are all sons and daughters of God. Now, what would our interior meditation, our way of living, be like if we were in a process of enemy love, in a process of recognizing the humanity in every person? Again, I'm telling you, the average Christian, the average churchgoer has absolutely no training in enemy love. The average person, again, just sees bad people as, I'll be nice to them. I won't be ugly. I won't say bad things. But see, that's just sentimentality. That's just acting out like we're just going to be good boys and girls. And I don't think that fulfills what Jesus is talking about, because his way of enemy love ended up giving him a death sentence. His means of enemy love was what carried him through the injustice system of Rome at the time and put him on a cross for a lynching. His view of humanity, which didn't divide it up into us versus them, but it saw all humans made in the image of God, and it saw all humans as fully deserving of love, whoever they are and whatever kind of brokenness they're living in, that for me, how I manage me. Now, I want to say, managing your enemy is really outside of everything I'm talking about right now. And that could be a whole nother discussion. But first, I'm talking about managing me, managing the way I live and prioritize the people all around me. When I cheer for us versus them, and when we're winning against the bad people, I just am telling you, that's a clear violation of what Jesus is offering us. Love your enemies. In fact, going back to Paul and his discussion in the book of Romans, he said, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. Going over back to the Gospels with Jesus, he said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. When you gave me drink, when you gave me something to eat, when you gave me clothing and you found me naked, when you visited me in the jail, then you've done it unto me. I think those are layers of enemy love. I know. I've walked down a few city streets in a few places, and I've seen the homeless person. I've seen somebody where my internal alarm goes off and says, beware, there's a bad person. There's a drug addict. There's a beggar. I've felt that. I'm not different than you. And I'm looking at me right now as I say that and recognizing that there's some big room for Randy's improvement, to look at that as a potential Christ. Mother Teresa said, the hungry, the poor, and the needy are Jesus in disguise. So finding within myself a capacity of compassion, empathy, and especially love, finding myself addressing my inner dialogue about how undeserving somebody like that is vital to my growth. If you've heard me say it once, you've heard it 10,000 times here. Love is not an once and for all arrival. It is a pilgrimage. It is a mountain climb. It is the heavy lifting. There's nothing easy peasy about this. To love our enemies, and let me put it back into a church mindset. When we talk about we got to reach the lost, we've got to go win them for Jesus. Well, loving people doesn't mean I need to win and they need to lose, and that's an example for me. Winning a soul for Christ to me is such a small vision of another person. First of all, we need to be loving people as wholes, W-H-O-L-E, wholes, not souls. Because a soul is inside that body, inside a mind, and that body may be hungry, that body may be thirsty, that body may be injured, that body may be beaten up and left for dead, like the Good Samaritan parable. And if I'm just focused on, I'm going to go win that person for Jesus, well, that means on some level, I consider this a winning and losing proposition. Or in another way to put it is, if I'm going to win somebody for Jesus, maybe I should consider it a possibility of a lifelong pursuit. Not to win a prayer from them, not to win the idea that they would agree with me on every doctrinal point that I present them with, but that I would win a friendship, that I would win a conversation, not an argument, but a dialogue. Not that I would have scriptures memorized that are ironclad points of convincing them that they're going to hell, I'm going to heaven, they should join me. No. That is never how Jesus treated people. He loved his enemies by recognizing the need in those folks. If we take into stock the feeding of the 5,000, for instance, not for one second do I have in my mind that all those 5,000 people agreed 100% with everything Jesus was teaching them. In fact, shortly after he fed the 5,000, he talked to them about what we know now as communion or the Eucharist. And he said, you have to eat my flesh. Well, then they took off on him. They walked away. So you see what I'm saying? What we think we know as getting people saved, really, in my view, is connecting with a relationship of love, washing their feet, maybe physically, but metaphorically, by helping them find why their feet have been dirtied by the path of life, and maybe helping me find why their feet have been bruised and dirty by their path of life. So to love my enemy is an invitation to something greater and bigger and more helpful in my walk with humans. So when we gather for church, let me put it into a practical context here. When we gather for church, I've seen this with my eyes. I've experienced this watching us talk to our friends in a church meeting, and a visitor walks in, and you can almost hear an alarm go off. I'm saying that silly in a facetious way, but you can almost hear an alarm go off. People don't say it out loud, but internally they're saying, oh my gosh, there's somebody else. Who are they? What are they doing here? In so many cases, we don't expect a different person walking in the door. And they might be a different color or dressed differently than us, and that would certainly set off alarms. But to love our enemy is to be trained, to be discipled and healed by a beauty of living with the goodness of God so deep and strong inside of us that we're not inclined to see a person we don't know as a potential problem. Or not just a potential problem, but a potential project. So anything that leads me toward a us versus them mindset, I think, is how we've really justified and continue to build the mind that there are enemies, like Moses said, enemies to hate, enemies to conquer, enemies to, hey, we got to win them for Jesus. When the truth is, perhaps they want to find somebody that's tired of the pitched battle, and maybe we will be won. Maybe we're the ones being won for Jesus by seeing Jesus in our enemy, by seeing Jesus in the least of these, by seeing Jesus in a disadvantaged somebody and loving them. And then in that case, we are one, not them. Well, let me bring this to a close. There's a lot to say here. I wonder what a church would look like if they took on a whole year of training and discipleship, and maybe they would have me come and teach a seminar on the heavy lifting of love, the pilgrimage of love. Or maybe they just want to get a little consultation. I'd be happy to have a conversation like that. But I need to bring this to a close, and we'll carry this on in another time. Enemy love. Big topic. But I try to close every week with these words. The biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. We need to understand it's time right now to be present, be kind, love more, love now. Mother Teresa said, and I quoted her earlier, we are called to go into the world and love the people you meet. Let your presence in the hearts of others. And as she said that I quoted earlier, Jesus is disguised by the poor, the addict, the alcoholic, the marginalized, the quote-unquote enemies that we look out around us at. And what I tell people regularly, we need to go out and do something beautiful in this ugly world. Ugly is getting done to death. Now, here's a couple of practices to help you with enemy love. And the first one is learn how to breathe good. Get some meditative breath into your lungs. On the count of three, take a deep breath. One, two, three. Inhale. And exhale. Learning the rhythm of your own interior meditation of calm and peace. Ooh, there's something beautiful about that. Jesus said the spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So one way to connect with the breeze and the wind is breathe well. Now, here's another enemy love practice. And I know this is weird, awkward, startling, and hard. But when we make it a part of our conversation to say, I love you. It could start with family members. You could carry it forward to friends. But folks, it's startling and awkward, especially when it comes to people that they know we've considered them our enemies. Finding a way to seriously and with maturity to say to those people, hey, no matter what else we agree or disagree on, I want you to know I love you. And when we say it in that manner, with full eye contact and intentionality, when we say it in that manner, in a way, we've signed a small contract, haven't we? Haven't we, in that moment, had our own little spiritual notary public seal a deal that says, look, we can disagree on a lot of things, but I want you to know I'm loving you. And not because I consider you an enemy, but because I consider myself an enemy. And that's got to stop. I refuse to be the enemy of anyone, anywhere, at any time. And that means, that means for you, for me, we got a tall order on the table, don't we? And Jesus gave it to us. In fact, Jesus said, this is the fulfillment of all the commandments. He said, I'm not putting the commandments away. And he said, if you act like that, then you don't get the point. But when you love and when you genuinely, truly find love even for your enemy, then you're fulfilling all the commandments. Everything's done. It's all leveled off right there. So with that contract of saying the three most holy, charmed, magical words in the human language, I love you. You're bringing yourself to a point of reference and a point of strategic living to love your neighbor, love yourself, and oh yeah, love your enemy. I sure appreciate you giving me a half an hour of your life and time. I'm so blessed and honored that you would choose to do so. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. You've been here for another episode of No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. And I'm convinced that we've got so much to talk about here. It's going to take a lot of my life yet to keep on challenging you. So, thanks for being here. Feel free to share this podcast with your friends. And I love you. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.